May the Lord give you his peace. Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is your daily message of hope. On this Thursday, let us direct the attention of our minds and hearts towards our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells among us in the Holy Eucharist. Remember that on this Thursday, we have the privilege of considering how on this day of the week, the Last Supper took place, the Last Supper, which is the First Mass. And during the Last Supper and the First Mass, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted two sacraments, the sacrament of the Holy Priesthood and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. During today's segment of this Message of Hope, I'm very happy to welcome and to announce that I'm joined by Brother Tommy Piolata.
Hey.
Tommy, Brother Tommy, oops, sorry about that, is a Capuchin Franciscan friar, native to the Diocese of Columbus, grew up at St. Andrew's Parish, right?
Correct.
Now, Brother Tommy, your vocation story to the religious life, to the Capuchin friars, has an interesting chapter tied into the Holy Eucharist. And it was when you were very young.
Oh, yes.
Your first Holy Communion.
Yep.
And you just received our Lord Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, one of the more beautiful moments in the life of any Catholic Christian, mm-hmm. especially culturally speaking, very important for a child. But then after your first Holy Communion, you had a banquet type meal.
Yep.
And you were surrounded by a lot of something.
A lot of priests.
A lot of priests. A striking similarity to the Last Supper, First Mass, a lot of priests.
It probably looked very similar to that because I remember specifically asking to sit in the middle of all the priests. So at my Last Supper, at my First Communion party after the liturgy, there was a table with a bunch of priests and I sat in the middle of them. There must have been at least six priests, if not more.
That's a privilege. I know when we think of the Franciscans, we think of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
We think of a brown habit.
Yeah.
We think of a white cord, a mm-hmm. white cord with three knots.
Sure.
We think of St. Francis. We mm-hmm. think of St. Clair. We think of maybe Assisi, Italy. Mm-hmm. But one of the beautiful elements of the spirituality in the Franciscan family is a powerful, powerful and very direct, undeniable love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.
For sure.
And it's something that I would very much like to spend a few moments on, sharing this time with our listeners as we are, because a lot of times people think of St. Francis, St. Clair, the Franciscans, and they think of trees, birds, and deer. Beautiful, wonderful. But we don't think of like the Eucharist, you know, adoration. We don't think of this incredible love that St. Francis of Assisi had for, first of all, Jesus in the flesh, the incarnation, the Holy Eucharist. And I can't help but think of St. Francis every time Christmas rolls around because there's the beautiful imagery of the crib, the cross, the Eucharist, but you pursued the Franciscan way of life in your vocation, a vocation of consecration, of religious life. You know, in your own life, on this Thursday, when we're encouraging our listeners to open their minds and their hearts, mm-hmm. to the reality, the power, and the presence of Jesus dwelling among us in the Holy Eucharist. As a Franciscan friar, I don't know why I just grabbed my chest because I'm not a Franciscan friar.
Deep down inside, Father, we all know.
Oh, here we go. But in your own life, in your own words, as a Capuchin Franciscan, what does our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist mean to you?
Wow. I think you are spot on that I would love it if when people heard St. Francis or the Franciscans, they also thought of the Eucharist.
Mm.
St. Francis had a remarkable love for the body and blood of Christ. In fact, he, in his writings at least, he never uses the term Eucharist. He always says body and blood of our Lord.
Yeah.
He's just so drawn
to
the incarnate Christ.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up Christmas too. I think
I love Christmas.
For a Franciscan, you know, the Mass means Christmas every day.
Yeah.
And so the a vision inspired by St. Francis is a Christmas vision.
Mm.
He says that just as the Lord came to us humbly in the flesh 2,000 years, well, at his time it would have been 1,200 years ago, just as the Lord came humbly to us in the flesh, so he comes humbly to us every day in the hands of a priest.
Yeah.
And that's remarkable.
Yeah.
So for me, I had a kind of, you could say, Eucharistic conversion, though. when I started getting into the thought of St. Bonaventure, yeah, was another great Franciscan after St. Francis.
Sure.
And St. Bonaventure capitalizes on, for lack of better terms, the final reality of the Eucharist.
Hmm.
And what mesmerized me was, and this is in the tradition of the church, there's kind of three parts of the Eucharist. The first part is the sign itself, which is the bread and the wine, which are very important symbols.
Sure.
And the second part is the reality and the sign. And this is the body and blood of Christ, the true body and blood of Christ. And yet this reality mediates a further reality, which is the union of the mystical body of Christ. And so in the Eucharist, we kind of have a foretaste of the mystical body that awaits us in glory.
Hmm.
And for me, the Eucharist as a foretaste of glory touched my heart in a really special way.
Sure.
Yeah.
When did you first learn that?
I learned it actually at a conference in, I believe in 2017,
uh-huh,
a Franciscan conventual by the name of Wayne Hellman gave a marvelous paper on the created elements as signs, and then he spoke about the Eucharist.
Were you already in the Franciscan family?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
It was right before I took my final vows.
Oh, wow. Was that a confirmation for you to persevere?
Sure, we could say that. Yeah.
Now, tell me, you've been to Assisi.
I have.
The land of St. Francis, the land of St. Clair.
More than once.
I, having been privileged to make retreats there many times, you go down the hill from Assisi and you're in where the train station is. You know, mm-hmm, you go to St. Mary of the Angels.
Yeah.
And you walk in and there's the Porciuncola. And as you're looking at this little chapel,
yep,
which is in the center of this not so little chapel, this big church, this big basilica, to the right, there's a side altar and it's the nativity scene and it's up year round. And I never forget the first time I went, I think I was 18 years old. No, something about that, 17 okay, or 18 years old. And it was in the Jubilee year, 2000. And I went and I was caught off guard that in this magnificent basilica in the valley below Assisi,
there's the nativity.
They have this year-around nativity. And I
Christmas
was like,
every day.
I know. I was like, I feel obligated to let them know that they need to change their scene a bit. You know, I mean, it's like, it's really hot. It's June. And someone forgot to take down the Christmas set, you know?
Yeah.
And I was walking around. I walked up to one of my friends. And I was like, I really want to ask why they didn't take it down, you know? And one of the priests who was there overheard me and he goes, no, like St. Francis made popular the idea of today what we call the nativity set. And so out of respect for St. Francis, he you know, here in the basilica, they keep up the nativity scene all year long and it has its own chapel. I mean, the nativity set, it's incredible, it's beautiful. But I think it was there when I was visiting the Basilica of St. Mary of the Angels, something clicked. And it was like, you know, the simplicity, the humility,
mm-hmm,
of the environment into which Christ was born is the simplicity, the humility of the fingers of the priest who's, mm-hmm, holding, you know, the host. And then through the words of consecration, through the power of God's mystery and his love for humanity, at that moment of the Mass, Jesus becomes present. It's like the fingers of the priest become Bethlehem all over again. And you're just considering how beautiful, how powerful this is. And so every Thursday, we get to remember Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and the Holy Eucharist. And yet, we hear time and time again about how many Catholics, when they respond to questionnaires and polls, they don't believe.
Mm.
I mean, they don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. And it's like, you just want to, you know, say, if you don't believe he's present in the Eucharist, then you can't say that he was present at the Nativity. And if,
yeah,
he wasn't present at the Nativity, then you can't say God loves. Because if God does not love, then there's no point to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But since he does love, there's a point to everything. And Jesus is present. He's born in Bethlehem. He's present at the Nativity. And he's also present in the Holy Eucharist. And every Thursday, we have this beautiful opportunity to just reflect upon God's love, but his love that's made manifest, tangible, if, mm-hmm, you will, receivable,
mm-hmm,
in the Holy Eucharist. And the Franciscans have this beautiful charge, this love for the church,
mm-hmm,
but it's a love that's made real by announcing that Jesus is present,
mm-hmm,
in the Eucharist, you know. And we were taught, it probably goes, you know, everything is traced back to a Franciscan. whether it's real or not, I don't know. That's
my
not
lips
for
are
me.
Sealed.
But you know, I love that line, every day is a little Christmas and every mm-hmm. Sunday is a little Easter. And highlighting, you know, what you said about the Mass reminds you of Christmas, you know, Jesus becoming present. You know, when people are desperate for hope, what would you throw out to them for their consideration, for their meditation mm-hmm. on this Thursday, this day of the Eucharist?
Well, I think the Eucharist gives us hope. You know, I think the Eucharist reveals to us through faith and through charity, it reveals to us where we're going. It reveals to us where the church is going. The Eucharist is a foretaste of heaven. Mm. And that's what the sacrament is. And so I would encourage people on this day, when they look at the Eucharist, to let the true body and blood of Christ mediate the communion in glory, the communion with the Holy Trinity that awaits us. Because this is what Christ does. Christ is a great mediator. He is the only mediator between God and man,
right.
Who we read in St. Paul. And so the Eucharist itself is a powerful mediation that mediates creation, us, yeah. and heaven. And so I would encourage people to gaze at the Eucharist because we're gazing at creation, and at the same time, we're gazing at the fulfillment of all of history. We're gazing at heaven. We're gazing at the glorious goal that awaits us. So when there are struggles with hope, and certainly there are struggles in
sure,
hope in this day
yeah.
and age,
yeah.
The Eucharist tells us that, no, something else awaits us.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not the definitive reality,
yeah.
but that there's a further reality. This experience is only penultimate.
And how beautiful that the Lord meets us in the here and now so as to show us the then and later.
Absolutely.
There's something more to come if we just open our eyes to the Lord before us.
God is love.